This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The trailer has been viewed over 22,000 times on YouTube, and the DVD is about to be released. For 11 months, a group of students at Nanaimo's Wellington Secondary School were at work on a feature film called How to Survive the 10th Grade, with a cast of 40 students, 10 crew members, and others. The film touches on a range of high school issues, including drug use, violence, rivalry, and peer and sexual pressure. We're joined in the studio by How to Survive the 10th Grade director and screenwriter, Devin Brug, editor and writer, Kevin Ackerill, thanks, and activist Yvonne Dubina. Did I say activist?
You said activist.
Well, in a way, she is.
Yes, yes.
So welcome to People First Radio.
Hi.
Welcome. This isn't your first film you've created, some other survival films. Tell us about how all this came about.
Well, I guess it all started, it was a grade 9 video production class, and we had to do how-to films. With How to Survive the 8th Grade, which was the first one we did in the series, it was basically a 17-minute film, and it wasn't really planned to be anything like this, right? It was just, you know, get the project done. And we didn't even plan to be 17 minutes. It's supposed to be really short, like 5 minutes. But I guess, you know, ambition and whatever, we wanted to have, like, we wrote a big script, and we didn't know how big it was actually going to be in the end. So, and then with How to Survive the 9th Grade, Yvonne and Kevin stepped in, and
there was a lot of demand for another one because the grade 8 one was really, everyone really liked it. It was really funny. So and then came in the 9th grade, and everybody really liked that one again. And that's kind of why we started making the 10th grade, because, you know, we had a good thing going on.
Yeah, they told us we had to make the 10th grade if we made the 9th grade. So that that's what happened.
So this is the third film then
the
in the series.
The third film, yeah. Wow.
And you guys have worked consistently together on all three films?
Me and Kevin kind of joined in the second one, than anything. Like, I was an extra in the first one, but that was really the limit to my contribution. But then the next one, we really contributed.
We're really definitely there at the beginning, doing a lot of the writing and planning.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone in your film who's an adult is played by an adult. Why was this particularly important to you?
Well, there was really two reasons. I mean, we knew that we couldn't really have teachers in the film because it'd be, you know, kind of hard for a teacher to actually be in the film. Second of all, we always look at other films, and for How to Survive the 10th Grade, it was like we looked at maybe 50 high school movies beforehand, and we really took the professional, like, we wanted to make it look professional, like, even, like, simple stuff like our art and marketing, like, our posters had to have text on the bottom.
We all wanted to do it, you know, ourselves and have it be all original and very legitimate, really.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We wanted to have text on the bottom of our posters simply because they looked professional, not because the text actually meant anything, but, you know, just, and that's kind of like, we just looked at the shots that we had seen in high school movies, and we tried to replicate, and it took a lot of, like, we reshot maybe 70% of the movie. But by the time it was done, we were really happy with it.
Now, the film was supposed to premiere in June, but you weathered a series of technical challenges along the way.
That's a polite way of putting it.
Yeah. What was your experience in bringing the film to the screen, Devin?
It was a tedious one. I loved it. I've learned so many things from it. I mean, even today, when I look back at the photos we had taken since around November to now, and just of each part of the project, you really see the development and the connections between all the actors and crew, and it was really it was just that, it was a learning experience. I mean, I think project based learning like this, where it's just student initiated and you just go out and because you want to do something like this. Whereas 8th grade was a project for the class, 10th grade was a project because we wanted to start, you know, going and see what we can do with, you know, the development of our film, whatever, you know, our habits.
And it went far beyond the school, really.
Yeah. Mm.
So 22,000 hits is a lot of people viewing your situation.
Yvonne, you were there at the start of the story concept, from what I gather. What was that like?
It's really interesting when you start off with, like, this simple idea, and then it starts growing and growing, and then, like, I never expected the movies would be this huge or, like, an even hour long. considering the first one was like 17 minutes. Mm-hmm. And now it's just this huge thing that everyone knows about. I mean, this interview itself, like, I never imagined this would happen about a film.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty fascinating. You've said that the re-edit of the film was drastically changed.
Oh, yeah.
Took several days to shoot the opening scene. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
When the hard drives crashed in June, a day before the premiere, we lost about a quarter of the footage, and a lot of we lost marketing stuff, so like our photo art and what we had done. Re-editing the films, we actually started basically from scratch, and we went through and we looked at our decisions. We had 2 months, obviously, because students, you know, get out for summer. And me and Kevin sat down, and we sat down literally, and we had to rebuild it, to troubleshoot the program. Why did it crash? Figure out those things. But on top of that, it was also an opportunity to be more creative and to actually look back and judge, just like how we had done shooting the film where we reshot. We could now re-edit the film, and we had lots more time. So by the time we were ready to premiere it, we premiered when we wanted to premiere it rather than a deadline.
Say. Now, the film opens with an on-screen quote from the novel Great Expectations by Charles Dickens.
Yes.
In the little world in which children have their existence, whosoever brings them up, there is nothing so finely perceived and so finely felt as injustice. Tell us about that quote, and it's followed by the hospital scene.
Yes. The quote, I actually didn't have a good quote. I had a few quotes in mind, but I didn't have a good quote. I was reading Charles Dickens, and obviously I found it. And I really just thought it really represented not only the theme of the movie, but also some of the things we had felt during making the movie. There was, you know, times in the movie where, you know, we felt like things weren't happening fair, where things were, and we really, you know, and we kind of put that and the spirit back into the film through, you know, adding that quote. The hospital scene, though, is a film, or is an example of the re-editing. We actually added the scene after the June date. So, and that's just like the creative, you know, our creative, what you call it, license, rather, that we just wanted to do it, so we just did it, you know.
Here's some audio from the first scenes at the school.
High school, for some, a place of education, for others, a proving ground.
It's a place of partying, friend ditching, dumping and losing. But for most, though, it's a place of learning.
It's a place of achieving. It's a place of showing your best. But for all, it's a place that stands in the way between you and that even bigger place we call the world.
I got the feeling again.
Leanna High School is no different than any other high school. We aren't any smarter here than the top grade point average hounds in the high school in which you currently attend, and we aren't much dumber either. We have the same goals as your school. We want to have a successful life, but don't want to work extremely hard for one. We want to have fun and improve the learning for our fellow students, but we detest any homework, and you'd be lucky to find a student tutor here. Here, we ache for something exciting to happen, yet rebel if anything dramatically different occurs. Here, we see things as fun when they are wrong and boring when they are right.
I live not a cigarette, big time by cheating, and that's how it's
at Leanna High School, we are just like you, excited, ignored, bored, academic, not so academic, and in love.
So, tell us about Leanna High School.
Oh, actually, you know, I think Leanna High School actually starts with our... me and Kevin kind of developed a metaphor, the real world metaphor.
Yeah.
So I think that's important to talk about.
In the trailer a lot, how Leanna High School is, like you said, the real world. And there's kind of something we always hear a lot as youth is, oh, well, wait till you're out in the real world. Yeah. Then you'll start learning about things. Yeah. But then we kind of think, well, we're in the real world right now. We're real people, even though we're young, you know? And that's at Leanna High School, you know, that's what they're learning there. Yeah. It's even though it's small, it's just a high school. It's their real world.
And the point is, education is not, it's part of the process, but it's the learning that really matters, right? Whether you learn in school or you learn outside of school, you learn doing how to set the 10th grade, making a film, whatever it is, it's really, you know, for students, it's not always you're going to high school and you're going to learn things. It's what you do outside of high school and during that time in your life, and that makes it part of the real world. I mean, for us, the real world is our movie, because in a sense, we didn't wait till after university to make a film. We made it now.
Till film school or something. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful.
Tell us about the major themes in the film. You mentioned sexual education and rebellion in your comments about the film. Comment on the themes.
I think the biggest one is definitely rebellion and understanding, what you think, is right or what you think is wrong. And, you don't necessarily have to just take what's being told to you as being right or wrong. You have to decide for yourself, like the kids in the movie do, is the new principal comes in and he's making all these rules, and they've been told that that's fair, but they know they really know that that's not what's fair, and they've learned that they have to stand up for what they know is right.
And I think a lot of that is that we also have this in the trailer, and it's also to do with the real world. It's the difference between an ethic and a moral, and how ethic is really what society tells us is right and wrong, and a moral is something you learn or you've experienced, and you know what's right and wrong, and you know that for yourself. So I think that has to do with, and not really rebelling against, education, because education is a wonderful thing, but rebelling against being a teenager and just having to look at what they're telling you and just kind of decipher it yourself and learn from it yourself. I mean, that's your job as a student to do. So
I love the quote on the cover of your DVD, wrong is the new right and rebellion is the answer.
Yeah.
I want a t-shirt made that says that.
Yes. You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Kevin. I'm here with Jan. We're joined in the studio by director and screenwriter Devin Brug, editor and writer Kevin Ackerill, and actor Yvonne Dubina. We're talking about their new feature film, How to Survive the 10th Grade.
Down, I'll never turn and run. Won't you hold my hand now? I should have never changed, and I've never read my game. I'll find a good excuse.
So, Kevin, tell us about the music in the film. Audio was a really important part of it.
Well, we were really excited when our friends, they have a band called Rewind. And
John Lee, Avery Littlemore, and Evan Kurtz. And
those are the guys.
And you know what's interesting? Because everyone who made the film, besides with the exception of the adults, like Joe Cooper, Frederick Robinson, and Todd Jones, the rest of us are students. And I guess the band, they're learning too. So, I mean, for example, I just remember working with them and being in the studio because we would often go and record together. So, I don't know. I don't have to talk about that.
Well, it was a lot of fun to record with the band and stuff. But it was neat to kind of see someone else who was doing what we were doing. They were, soundtracking a movie. How many bands have soundtracked a movie when they were 17? And, how many 17-year-olds have made a movie? So it's really cool to see, what you're capable of doing.
And their music freed our film in a lot of ways. If we had used, the other two films, I don't know if you know this, but we used copyrighted music. And you can't do that, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So in order to do this, we really had to, look for other options and sources. And when you're doing a 50-minute film, you obviously need a soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. And it was exciting, here's this band who's just going to give us their music again.
You've said that marketing and professionalism were important to motivating the students who were involved in the project. I'm wondering if you could tell us more about that.
Well, what about the posters, right? For example, I Photoshopped posters, and in order to motivate the rest, because there are 40 cast and crew. So in order to motivate the rest of them, I had to show them something and be like, "This is the light at the end of the tunnel. This is what is going to be at the end of the tunnel." So
well, especially after when it was supposed to premiere and it didn't, and I know a lot of people were just like, "Really?" They're just so disappointed. Mm. But I think all the posters and just the fact that we haven't given up on it and that we've just continuously advertise it, like, yes, it is coming, yes, it is coming, don't worry, don't worry. You know, I think that really helps to keep people's spirits up and, like, yes, I am stoked for this film.
Mm-hmm. And it helped them remember, you know, just how big it was, the thing that we were working on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's because it meant so much to us that we had to keep, you know, How to Set the 10th Grade is coming. It's not going to just end here. And that was part of the learning experience, too, is just you can't give up, even if, I mean, a lot of people expected us just to give up and just not edit the film again or again or again, you know. And because
we were even actually told a few times, you know, well, you know, you tried really hard and you did a lot of work, but, you know, it's okay. You don't have to finish it. But we did. We did have to finish it. There's no way we couldn't.
Wow. Here's some more audio from the film. Leonard Dixon, the role played by Devin Brugge in the film, is making his speech at the conclusion of the student body presidential election.
High school is not the same for everyone, and it's certainly not been the same for me. Every year I come to Leanna, I find something different about myself. I find something different about who I hang out with. I find something different about what I learn. I find the confidence in myself to do something extraordinary and to learn from what fails. I want you all to find something different, something new. I want you to make it what you want and to take from it what you wish.
Devin and Kevin, you spoke in the commentary that accompanies this film about the experiences and learning that you went through during this process. Devin, why don't you begin and share your experience with us?
You know, there's so many things that I could answer with, you know, with my answer. I like I said, it was an extremely large process, and I mean, even today when we were burning DVDs at 7 in the morning and the thing wouldn't burn, and it was the last step in getting the film done, and then they were burning, and then all of a sudden they had all errors and they weren't readable. It's like, you know, and I've learned, you know, way back in June that even if that happens, you can't get frustrated. You have to expect that, you know, maybe your film will never come out, or maybe your project will never actually work. But that, even then, that's not the point of doing it. I mean, I had so much fun working with the cast and the crew and working with the talented actors that actually came on set and just wanted to help out, and the people who didn't have to be there, they just wanted to be there just because, you know, we as a group had, you know, a passion or a spirit to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even like that's the biggest lesson I've learned, is just to just persevere, even if you think it's going to be bad, just do it anyways. You learn, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think another thing we learned was definitely like the value of failing at something, because we did think when the movie didn't premiere in June, we thought, wow, we didn't do it. We tried so hard and it didn't happen. But then I think that really opened our minds up, though, for when we were editing, you know, all throughout the summer and into the beginning of the year, just understanding, you know, what it is to fail, because I know we're quite talented. We don't fail at much.
No, this is pretty impressive. Yeah. Absolutely.
What are the next steps? The DVD is coming out. Are you planning another film?
You know, actually, I'm just going to fall asleep on Saturday, and I don't think I'll ever wake up. I haven't slept for a long time. Yes. The next film, you know, I don't know. It might be a How to Set the 11th Grade. It might be something completely different. You never know. Mm-hmm. It's whatever, you know, pulls us into next. I think when you just sit down, and we had lots of meetings doing the pre-production outline and stuff with Yvonne and Kevin and the other cast and crew members, and it's really just, you know, what do you want to see? What really is inspiring you right now? And take those issues and really put them into your film, because when you make a film, you're usually commenting on society or, you know, in some way and or something, human behavior.
Director and the screenwriter Devin Brugge, editor and writer Kevin Ackrell, and actor Yvonne Dubina, thank you. They're part of a core of a group of students at Nanaimo's Wellington Secondary School whose feature film How to Survive the 10th Grade is about to be released on DVD. Find out more online at dbfilms.ca.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society, CHLY, 101.7 FM. CHLY.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.